Blog Talk Radio.
Sinners, get ready.
What you gonna do?
The Lord is ruling the world.
What you gonna do?
You better get your
heart
in order.
What you gonna do?
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 Program is the Old Ship of Zion. Your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come into your workspace, come into your living room area, and then be able to ride on down the dangerous highway and byway with the Old Ship of Zion on your radio dial. I just hope and pray that you had a beautiful day today. Those of you that went to Mass and went to various church service, I just hope and pray that the Lord met you there. Hallelujah. And you rested up and you're ready to get refueled on the divine word of God. I just thank those of you out there in my digital listening audience on tonight. I thank you for just tuning in, just being a loyal and faithful listener. And I just thank God for you, you and you. And like I always for a state, God has a blessing lying in wait, engraved with your name on it. And I just thank you from the depths of my very soul. And I want you to know that Overseer Ward loves you. God loves you, number one, and I love you, number two. And the reason I have to be number two is because he is number one. He said he will not be second best when he can be number one. So he's the ruler of this planet. He's the ruler and the keeper of my soul. He's the Lord of my salvation. So I just thank God for this opportunity to come across these airways with the divine word of God. Hallelujah. I will be with you tonight, 30 minutes on the clock. And so without us going into any further preliminaries, I would just invite you, those of you that will, to bow your beautiful heads as we go down in prayer. And we do this at the beginning of each program that we come across these airways. We come just lifting up the name of Jesus. And so I'm just asking those of you that will to bow your beautiful heads as I just for a state. And we will acknowledge the one and the only, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And so that's who we are talking about. That's the subject of why we're here. And I'm here because I have been given, hallelujah, an assignment to bring unto you the divine word of God as I know it to be. So without any further ado, we're going to go into our prayer at this time. Father God, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured. We thank your gracious Heavenly Father for assembling us in unity once again around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this earth planet is not our eternal destination. We know that you have lying in wait, Father God, a mansion that's not built by mortal man, God. But you are the architect. You are its creator, God. And you have a mansion in reserve for those that are living according to your will, according to your way, and according to your command. Until you crack those clouds one historical day, God, we'll be coming and going as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you on tonight, God, to anoint these lips of clay, to bring a miracle word to those that may or may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. I'm asking you, Father God, to grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom to those that are hurting deep within the epitome of their souls. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty name. And we shall all say amen and amen. And like I've already stated, I just thank those of you that were able to tune in tonight and just taken out of your busy itinerary, your schedule, that you could be doing something else, could be reading a book, you could be doing your homework assignment, you are preparing for an exam, or you could be at the movies, you could be at brunch, you could be out there, you could just be doing a number of things. But I thank you for just, like I first stated, being a faithful and loyal listener. And for doing so, God is going to bless you. And so we're going to go right now on into our scheduled program. And our sermon on tonight, entitled Identity Entrapment versus Chip Implantation. I'm going to say that one more time. Identity Entrapment versus Chip Implantation. And so we're going to read from our key scripture that will be coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. And we're going to start at the 33rd verse. And we'll read on down to the its completion at the 34th verse. So we will begin now at 1 Corinthians. If you want to read along, get your Bible. And we're in the first chapter of Corinthians. We're at the 15th chapter. We're going to start at the 33rd verse. And it reads like this. It says, "Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners." And now we're going down to the 34th verse. "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." And that's coming out of the law of 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, the 33rd on down to the 34th verse was where we left off at. And so you might ask, Overseer Ward, how did you come about that theme on tonight? Well, I come by that theme through the Lord's, number one. And number two is because of the time and era in which we're living in right now, the 21st century. You know, I tell you, we're just living in a world to where everything is computerized. I mean, I'll tell you, your debtors really don't want to send you any kind of paper mail anymore. You know, they want to just have it where, you know, it's paperless. Everything is just, you know, digital. And so that means that, you know, while we're sleeping, then, you know, decisions is being made, laws is being implemented right as we sleep, you know. And so you might wake up tomorrow and it's something else different, you know. You just never know. And so God wants us to stay abreast on what concerns us as Christians and people of God, you know. And so, you know, God just gave me this theme because it's really talking about the identity entrapment. And what I mean by that, identity entrapment, is that we have come to the realization, I guess, beauty implementing, you know, it's all right if you want to have, you know, tattoos and some of that nature, but I will say this, a lot of times we can go too far. What I mean by too far is that you are really identifying yourself. You don't need any law enforcer. You don't need anyone to identify you because you have done that for yourself without even knowing it. And that's what I mean by identity entrapment. So that means that if you do anything against the law, there would be absolutely no problem with them finding you and identifying you. If you've broken in somebody's home, you went into somebody's car, stole their money, whatever that crime that you have committed, you have done it to yourself by entrapment. And a lot of those tattoos and things that you see people have on, I mean, everywhere I go, I'm seeing different, you know, just different, and it's art. That's what they call it. So it's different art on the body part, you know. And I mean, you see some of them is gone as far as, you know, if they're bald on the head, they've got tattoos all up there, and they got them, you know, teardrops at the edge of the eye, in the corner, you know, crack of the eye. And then they have it all in their chest areas. And, oh, I mean, seen one, I think, on the other evening where this person had tattoos, I think, on this underarm. So I'm telling you, the people are going to great strength and extremes. I mean, you know, it's enough to do, you know, to do some artwork, you know, if you want a name of your, you know, if you want a name of your parents or your grandparents or maybe someone that you lost or your husband or wife or children name or something like that. You know, I don't think that's too, you know, bad to say. I don't think, you know, because I'm not the judge. But I would say some of this is just extremist. And what I mean by extremist is when you don't have a spot on you that has not been tattooed. You have set yourself up, and you cannot blame fault on anybody but yourself. And what that is an addiction. That is an addiction. And the Bible don't want us to fall in love with nothing except Him. He don't want us, you know, I don't care what it is, you know, He don't even want us. He wants to love our children, but He don't want us to love our children to the point that, you know, well, I love you more than I love God. Because God wants to be number one in our lives. And so what I mean by this theme on tonight, identity entrapment, is that when you have that tattooed on you everywhere on your body, there is no way you can hide. There's nowhere to hide. And you have set yourself up. And so if you've already set yourself up for identity entrapment, that's an entrapment because the fact that you cannot go and wash that off with soap and water. You have to have that, you know, in other words, that have to be, surgically removed. You have to have that surgically removed from your body. A lot of times I've heard testimony about people that they wouldn't hire them at the workplace because they had all these tattoos, and so it's been some church organizations that has come in and that has picked up the tab for a lot of people getting that stuff removed. But man, I'm telling you, but if you're going to have that all over your entire body, that's thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to have that removed. And if you fall out of love with this person, it's no erasing. That's there permanently for life. So you have set yourself up for the law enforcement. You got to walk the chalk. You got to walk the tight rope for the rest of your life. You better walk the tight rope, I'm telling you. Because if not, you're going to be in a world of trouble. And so if you set yourself up already with this identity entrapment, because you can't remove it without surgically being removed, then you know, we just set bait up for, you know, the government want to come in and put chips in everybody. You know, so we can walk around as robots, you know, to be just, you know, just like you tell your kid, you know, go in there and wash the dishes, you know. Do you want that? Do you want that kind of lifestyle, you know, to be like a walking zombie? Folks just to know your every whim. You have to go to the bathroom. They know you're in the restroom. You want to go take a shower. They know you're there. You know, so I would just say, you know, I would just lighten up on a lot of your tattoos or at work. I would just let enough be enough, because you're not doing anything but just giving the government more incentives to do what they will with you. And so we're going to read, because I know that time is of an essence and time is running out. But so I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Now we know that according to today's Bible reading, that the disciples of the Lord Jesus in Antioch were the first to be called Christians. And this name that could never be improved on, because it identifies believers as followers of Jesus Christ. And what an honor to hear a name linking us to God's Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. We know that this could shape and mold our manners of living so that it becomes increasingly consistent with the way Jesus spoke and conducted himself. And so God wants us to be intelligent. God don't want us to bring blemishes and, you know, just bring something that would be unworthy to his name. God wants us to always, you know, think a lot of times before we speak. And if we get angry, to sin not. So we are to always stay in a manable characteristic, you know, in our everyday mannerism. And so, anyway, like I was saying, and this should shape and mold our manners of living so that in becoming increasingly consistent with the way Jesus spoke and conducted himself. And so if we are to live and live out our lives and we're claiming the name of Jesus, then our character have to speak volume to who we are. If we want to call ourselves Christians, then let us live up to our name. Let us live up to that. And we are not just supposed to do everything that we see somebody else doing. Because the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have been set aside and we have been removed from the world. Because when we gave up the world and said, I'm going to serve God, then that's what we did. We gave up drinking, lying, swearing, you know, cheating, committing adultery, fornication, you know. Whatever we did that wasn't like God, when we give our life to God, then we've done away with all of those things. And we picked up the characteristic of Christ. So I'm going to try to move along because I know time is moving quite swiftly. So Peter and the disciples were arrested for presenting the message of the risen Christ and brought before the religious ruler in Jerusalem. Rather than allowing themselves to be shaken by the mood of the mob, the disciples declared their intentions to continue preaching God. The order of the religious establishment may have been legal, but they were wrong. When the disciples chose to obey God rather than the godless religion leaders, they raised a standard of conviction that rose above the opinion of the ruler of the world. And we know that the trials that we face may test our commitment, but we will find opportunities to exalt the King if we trust him for the strength to go beyond the words of the crowd. So we know the pleasers and the do rights us, he defined it in his word. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your wonderful name, Father God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And so we are supposed to carry ourselves as Christians. And we don't have to have all of that stuff, you know. Just narrow down to a minimum and not be so decorated, because in the end, it will be the worst thing that you ever could have done. Hallelujah. And we know that in this world, we know that society, we are the consumers, and we are really, we're really critics. And you know that society wants to keep up with us, like I first stated, and they want all your information. I mean, you know, you can't hardly make a call. Somebody want to know your name. They want to know your birthday and where you live and who you're married to. And I mean, they just want to know all into your, you know, private information. And I know that it wasn't long ago that I had heard on the radio that some individuals was walking down the sidewalk, and you might have your cell phone in your pocket or in your purse, but they have implemented digital devices on the light post, I mean not the light post, but on the telephone post, that can pull all your information out your cell phone and you not even be aware of it. You don't even know that it's happening. But this is real. This is going on right now before our eyes. So, I mean, they are trying their best to just get all of your information, and that way nothing will be privatized anymore. Everything will be out in the opening. This is what the world is coming to. If they're coming to a corruption world. But we have to stay grounded. We have to stay rooted in God's word. That's what we're going to have to do, because you don't want to come up behind the eight ball not knowing what's going on around you. And we know that one of the greatest challenges is to our faith and belief in others is deception. And that's what that's what the world is going through right now, is deception. Having you to believe that living for God is wrong, you know, and you lying and swearing and fornicating, that's the right thing to do. That's what society is telling you, that's the right thing to do. So in other words, the wrong is going to be turned around as being right, and the right is going to be turned around as being wrong. And so we know that faithful and spiritual individuals, hallelujah, can be devastated when victimized by acts of deceit. We know that many of us, in some of the most disruptive moments in our lives, occurred when we were either manipulated or deceived by friends or family members. We find out that Jacob learned a valuable lesson concerning far-reaching consequences of deception. He deceived others by later becoming a victim of deception himself. He began to reap from the seeds of deception he had sown when he stole his brother's birthright and blessings from his brother Esau. Soon after this initial act of deceit and betrayal, Jacob found himself the victim of a plan of conspiracy and deception in his effort to marry Laban's youngest daughter, Rachel. When we make a conscious decision to use deception to manipulate the lives of others for our own personal gain, we must be willing to accept the ultimate consequences that these charges may produce in our own lives. We know that seeds of deception planted in the past will germinate, sprout, and spring forth at the most inopportune time. And in other words, you will reap what you sow. Like Jacob, those who deceive often become the victim of deceit. And Jacob's story also shows that deception does not go unpunished by a just God. Although we must often suffer the consequences of our acts of deception, we know that God frequently grants us grace beyond his justice. And he gives us divine restoration that allow us to move forward in our spiritual life with a greater sense of purpose and meaning. Even when we have intentionally deceived others for our own personal gain, God may allow us to experience a period of reaping what we have sown. Yet, he does allow our past to determine our ultimate destiny. His grace allow us the opportunity to go forth and succeed in spite of our past. After our season of reaping has showered us with his divine love and blessings. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we also know that when you're living a Christian life, we know that that's not going to be publicized. And there was a story about, there was a local news reporter that had was talking about a highway. It was like a billion-dollar highway. And they said that the mass transit project, and I think it was in the Colorado area, so it was nearing its completion as scheduled and within the budget. But the story wasn't on the front page. In fact, it was tucked into a sidebar, brief summaries, and a small type on a page. They said the local news section, now, we find out that if the project had been plagued by fraud, delays, or cost overruns, then no doubt it has been headline news. So he said he decided that he wouldn't make the news. But we know that the good motto in life is if we lie, if we cheat, if we steal, if we live honestly and morally, we can have an unnoticed yet effective spiritual influence on people around us. Now, we know that when Paul commanded the Christians in Thessalonica for showing love toward each other, he urged them, aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work your own hands, that you might walk properly toward those who are outside. That's found in the law of 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12. And we know that since our goal is to please God in every way we do, is to make no difference between anyone, to applaud our actions or not, we are called to be faithful, not famous. Bad behavior sells newspapers. And we know that honest and integrity honor the Lord. We know that the world applause cannot compare to the Lord's approval. Hallelujah. And in ending, I hope and I pray that I've said something to inject your spirit, then pack your mind, as I have brought unto you the divine word of truth. If this program, hallelujah, has been a blessing in your daily walk with God, if you have any prayer petitions you would like the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf, you're most certainly encouraged to send your correspondence the God House Deliverance, Pentecostal Digital Worldwide Ministry. Your station has been Blog Talk Radio. Your program has been the Old Ship of Zion. Senior correspondents, make them attend to Overseer Janice Ward. P.O. Box 1600, Gilroy, California, 95020. Email address, and it's all about God at yahoo.com. Till we come across these airways and sways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Till we meet again. Bye for now. Have any prayer petitions you would like the old ship of Zion to go down and pray on your behalf? You have less than 1 second, 1 minute, and 1 minute. You got 1 minute. Now you have 56 seconds. Those numbers are 646-200-3074, 877-598-8654. You have any proper teachers, now is the time. If not, you are encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. We'll allow the completion of this selection to bring our program to its closure.
One word. Sister Aretha Franklin.
Thank you.